Hey, Jets fans, want $50 off your next round of drinks? Try Tap RM. They deliver the drinks right to your door so you can skip the lines and trips to the liquor store. Discover new and exclusive drinks or shop for your favorites. Don't worry, they've got all the options for you. Order your first round at taprm.com and get $50 off your first order using promo code JETS50. $50 off $100 a beer, not a bad deal. I would highly recommend it. I've done it. Connor's done it. Joe's gotten it. So make sure you go to taprm.com, use promo code JETS50, skip the lines, and get $50 off your first $100 worth of beer. $100 in beer for $50, can't beat that. Now let's get into the pod.
Setting up, looking downfield. He's going to heave a bomb for Corey Davis at the goal line, into the end zone. He's got it! That's a Jet touchdown!
Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPaul11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Joined by a frequent guest, my Twitter space is my partner in crime, DJ Bienemy. How you doing today, DJ?
Chilling, man. I'm chilling, man. What it do, man?
Just another exciting week in the land of Jets football. They can, they know how to make a headline. Obviously, we'll start recapping a little bit of Thursday's game. Jets lose 45-30. Again, want to appreciate everybody that came out to Shepherd Knucklehead out in Hoboken. Got to meet some of you guys in person, which was pretty cool. Josh Johnson throwing for 300 yards and three touchdowns, almost leading the craziest comeback I think I've ever seen. What was your initial impression of the game? Because obviously defensively was not good, but offensively they had some good stuff happen.
Yeah, I mean, again, first drive, you know, they get a couple first downs. And then I didn't like that 3rd-and-6 call. They ran slants basically across the board. I think the tight end might be running in the flat, but you know, he was trying to target Denzel Mims. He got open on his initial release, but there was – the window wasn't really there. That's why Mike White kind of pump-faked and held the ball, because the window wasn't there. You had a flat defender, and you had a hook defender kind of in the window. So I didn't really like that call. But then the next drive, they marched right down. Mike White doing Mike White things, throws that touchdown to Elijah Moore. After the game, I asked him, you know, what did you see pre, post-snap? Is that pre-snap, we knew they're going to be into cover two, and they basically ran condensed splits, and they ran stick nods, and they had basically Jameson Crowder run basically a post to occupy the eyes of the safety over the top, and then you had an out and up from Elijah Moore, and basically they were just kind of reading Xavier Rhodes just to see, like, if he was going to pay a little bit too much attention to Crowder. And then that was going to allow Elijah Moore to basically sneak behind him, which is why he was so open. Because when you have cover two, when you have Jameson Crowder, running that post, that's going to threaten that safety that has that area, you know. So they executed that well. They got that touchdown. Now, unfortunately, Mike White got hurt. But then right after that, you had Josh Johnson come in, and it took him a few possessions to finally get going. But once he did, you know, he was really slinging it around, ended up over 317 yards. Man, I know a lot of people say it was garbage yard stats. I don't really buy into that. I mean, I'm a big proponent of somebody gotta get those stats. Because, I mean, they were basically running the same coverage that they ran throughout the entire game. It wasn't like they were running some different coverages early and they started running something different late. No, it was basically pretty consistent. Josh Johnson just had to kind of get a good feel for it. First time playing in about 3 years in an actual NFL game, not preseason. So, but overall, he played well, three touchdowns, one interception. The interception wasn't really his fault. You know, we saw what happened. But it was a good performance by the passing attack, basically taking whatever was there, getting down the field when it had to. Pass protection was solid. There were some plays, like on Elijah Moore dig, I think on the first touchdown drive with Mike White on the Elijah Moore dig, Mike White had, like, he got hit at the end, but he had, like, 4 or 5 seconds in the pocket. You know, that was just a deep route that they had to, you know, wait for it to come open. So, the passing attack, I was impressed with. Obviously, we flip it to the other side defensively. it just from my what I was watching on film, all we come to the run game, like the you know, the Colts just kept their O-line and tight ends, they just kept getting to the second level time after time after time. Every time a Foley, Rankins, or Quinnen were getting hit with double teams, they couldn't really from what I was seeing, they were getting driven back, which is kind of normal, but like they were getting driven back too far back, in my opinion. And that's why those lanes was just seeming so big. Because I mean, CJ's a great linebacker, but you know, when you have you know, the other D tackles not really holding shit down, while you have a guy getting double teamed, you know, it's kind of hard for once that old lineman gets onto the linebacker, it's kind of hard for them to do anything, you know, at that point, especially like they're getting, you know, they're getting engaged 7 yards down the field, you know, 5 yards, 7 yards on the field. So the run defense was pretty bad, like really bad. That was kind of surprising, especially when, you know, they have talent on the defensive line. They got talent linebacker with CJ and Jared Davis, but yeah, man, it was a rough afternoon. Watching that.
Yeah, no, it's a couple of different things here. I mean, I first off, I agree with you in terms of the garbage time stuff that I keep seeing. It's like, I know Saul got triggered. I don't know if it was at Rich or Connor, whoever asked it, which is Connor, but like, I get, you know, it can seem like that, but I don't think nothing was really different in what the Jets were running or what the Colts are running. And it wasn't deep into the fourth quarter. It was like, once it got to a point where like Frank Reich was throwing with his starters with 3 minutes left in the game, like you're not doing that unless you realize that the Jets are moving the ball. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, Mike White had 2 drives. I think he was like 7 of 10, if I'm not mistaken. He had the touchdown. He had 1 or 2 throws early that I was like, ooh, it was like the same Cincinnati ball where like he almost like could just like he looked like a backup for a second, which is fine. And that's not
right.
I don't see a criticism of him. He's, you know, in his third or second NFL start. But overall, I thought he looked good. I think I'm excited to see what he's going to play. I mean, obviously, as we're recording this, Rob Percon just basically said Zach's in a practice. But not to be surprised if Mike White plays, which is pretty much code for unless something crazy happens, Mike White's going to start Sunday. Josh Johnson was really impressive to me. I mean, you mentioned it. First of all, this guy's older than Mark Sanchez. So, like, for Jets fans that are like, wow, the Jets have made the playoffs in a decade, like, Josh Johnson's still older than Mark Sanchez was in his third year. So, you know, that's something. I mean, Josh Johnson's touch on the ball is there's something to be desired. He was throwing absolute missiles. And from an offensive perspective, the pass pro has been really good, good to really good for a while now. And I think that's something that, if you wanted to critique Zach, that's something that's probably one of the most frustrating things is like outside of maybe the Denver game, he's held the ball a ton and he's trying to make the big play. And that's why Mike White and Josh Johnson know how to operate the offense a bit better, in my opinion. Elijah Moore, obviously huge standout. He's the number one fantasy receiver for people that judge players based on fantasy. You can judge him that way. I know you tweeted the stat out earlier for the Elijah Moore belongs in the slot crowd. I think you mentioned, I think it's like 10 of 10 with 2 touchdowns over the last 2 games or something of that nature. And the Jets, all the work he did in camp, we've talked about this before in spaces, it was all outside. So I'd prefer we stop with the narrative that Elijah Moore is only good in the slot. That's simply not true. Yeah. Denzel Mims was disappointing in the aspect that like, he got an opportunity here the last 2 weeks and I thought he was fine. The drop touchdown happens and I wasn't going to kill him for it because the rest of the game he looked fine, but you can't have 3 drops, 2 of which were pretty routine catches. And that's something that I think we kind of put to bed a little bit. Corey Davis will be back this week. So from a run defense perspective, being overly aggressive is good for the Jets D-line, but on a short week when CJ Mosley's playing 100% of the snaps, you need Marcus May, Ashton Davis, Jared Davis to fill in a different manner. And they don't do that consistently. You're going to get gashed. How big of a loss is Marcus May going to be for this defense? Because I know Jets fans are very up and down with him and they get pissed off at the agent and all that stuff, but the guy's been one of their 2 or 3 best defensive players for a couple of years now. And Achilles, first of all, by the way, 3 Achilles injuries to 3 defensive starters is ridiculous in one season. I cannot believe that's happened. But what are your impressions of what's going to happen now with Marcus May out, obviously, for a long time?
Yeah, I mean, I remember I got an email yesterday saying, like, Marcus May was overrated. And I'm just like, the Jets roster isn't good enough to where you can just be out here saying, like, yeah, he's a little bit overrated. Bro, he's still a good player. End of the day, the Jets don't have that many good players. They have some young talented players, but they don't have that many good players. I was like, how many players on the Jets would start on other teams? We can go JFM will start on a lot of other teams. We can say Quinnen will start on a lot of teams, Rankins, CJ, and May. Those are like the five that you can make an argument for, like a legitimate argument for, that will start on at least half of the NFL. So, yeah, he's going to be missed, man, because, you know, I mean, he hadn't been playing great the past few games. Most of the defense hasn't. So, obviously, you know, you have to call a spade a spade. But, again, that veteran presence, being able to have everybody directed, being able to be kind of like a safety blanket over the top for, you know, Bryce at times, being able to be, you know, just that deep middle safety. Even on that touchdown run to Jonathan Taylor, I mean, I think Sherrod was in there, number 35, Neesman. He was in that area, too, that Marcus May would have been in, and Marcus May probably gets in the way of that, getting away of Jonathan Taylor. I know we focus a lot on Ashton Davis, and rightfully so. He took a wrong angle and he got burnt. But like there were a few people that messed up on that. Jerry Davis went through the wrong gap. Sherrod got blocked up pretty easily and the guy that was blocking him was just on the outside. I mean, because it was some motion, and then obviously Sherrod followed him. But Marcus May is a smart enough player where he could have got into that alley and not been blocked and possibly got in the way of Jonathan Taylor. Not saying that, you know, Jonathan may not have broke, but again, that goes back to having a vet like May who kind of see what was going on ahead of time and being able to make that play. So I mean, obviously it's going to be missed. It's a very unfortunate situation, especially being a contract year, and that's why, you know, I always side with players trying to get their money at the end of the day. As someone in my DM saying, oh, he should have just took the deal. If that's not the deal that you feel you're worth, then we can't. And I really get uncomfortable with the whole money topic because we're telling people what they're worth. It's not coming out of our pockets. We're telling them what they're worth, what they should take, what they shouldn't take. Like, bro, at the end of the day, like, if Marcus May and his agent and representation feel that they were getting lowballed and they feel that they deserve more, then that's that at the end of the day. Like, if you don't feel like you should, you know, the Jets should pay him that money, that's fine too. It is what it is. You're entitled to that opinion. But saying somebody not worth X amount of dollars, I don't really like getting into that, especially when it's not even my money. It's not a fan's money. Like, fans have been tricked into this whole notion. When it comes to the money, they've been really tricked. Because most times, you could pay a guy a lot of money on the deal, but you can get out of it pretty easy. Like, the Jets, they can get out of John Franklin Myers' deal, I think, after 2022. They can get out of that deal. They can get out of Corey's deal after next year. They can get up Carl Lawson's deal after next year. Most of the money isn't guaranteed. So, like, that initial salary isn't really what they're actually going to even make. And they probably don't even come close to that unless they, you know, really match the production of that contract. So, yeah, they're going to miss him tremendously. Because, like, he was that veteran presence. And, again, he was, like, the only legitimate NFL starter that had experience in the secondary. Everybody else is either a second-year player or a rookie.
Yeah, it's interesting. The money thing, I can't stress enough how frustrating it is when people – look at the total dollar amount. I remember, obviously, you know, credit to you, broke the JFM story, and it was like, oh my God, it's so much money. Bro, it's a one-year deal. It's literally a one-year extension, and if he's great, the Jets have a team-friendly deal. And if he isn't good, then the Jets will get out of it. You mentioned, I was just going to mention this, there's the only guys on this roster that are here through 2022, and this is even a question mark, is CJ Mosley's deal, where they could have gotten out of more. So this year they can potentially get out if they really want to next year, which they're not going to, obviously, after this year, because it's their best player. And then it's like the rookies. So all these guys could be – they're all two-year deals. Joe Douglas knows what he's doing. That's part of his biggest criticism, if you read some of the hit pieces out on the Jets, is – he's too stingy with money. He's also responsible from a cap perspective, which the Jets have pretty much never been ever. So I wouldn't get too worked up into Marcus May's money with his agent tweets. Unfortunately, guys, agents tweet a lot of stuff. If you notice, people that work in the NFL that you guys respect greatly will tweet things for agents, like Andrew Heaney's agent in baseball this week getting a very successful season to 10 ERA. So just be cautious of kind of ripping teams, you know, left and right for what they pay players or what they don't. I totally agree with you on Marcus May's point as well. Just they're going to miss him a lot. And I know people were pretty disappointed the last 2 weeks, didn't play great. For some reason, Marcus May against the Bills is like the best player I've ever seen. Like last year, both games, he was exceptional. I think 2 forced fumbles, like 12 tackles and a sack against Josh Allen. Week one last year is the only guy that really showed up. So from a defensive perspective, we'll hit this quickly and we'll go back to the offense because obviously everyone wants to talk about that side of the ball. Buffalo struggled a lot yesterday. They've struggled a lot of different times this season offensively. They don't run the ball very well. They don't protect Josh Allen particularly well, and he's doing some stuff. Him and Mahomes kind of have done a little bit of what got them in trouble in college, where they kind of just try to be heroes. You obviously are, you know, not about the Dolphins, but the Dolphins played Josh Allen really – I mean, it was 3-3, I believe, at halftime. They scored 6 points against the worst defense in the NFL last week. What do you think that they did, particularly that the Jets can potentially exploit, to keep themselves in the game on Sunday, other than, you know, Mike White has 500 yards and 5 touchdowns?
I think forcing Josh Allen and company to march down the field, take away the big plays. Because as you alluded to with the Mahomes and Josh Allen effect, like they are home run hitters. They want to go for the kill shot. And if you could just play over the top and consistently make them drive down the field, which to the Jets' credit, they have been able to make teams do that. As much as defense has been bad the past few weeks, it's because, you know, teams are just marching up and down the field. But like the big, big explosive plays, obviously, outside of last Thursday, that was more of an anomaly, and the Patriots we were more of an anomaly. But they've been able to contain teams from being able to basically shred them with, you know, quick hit touchdowns, things of that nature. So I think that's something that they'll have to do. Like, again, I guess the Bengals, like they had, like the Bengals had a few plays, but like some of them were trick plays, like the one that Joe Mixon, that was a trick play that got him all the way down to the goal line. And then you had to play with, I think it was to T. Higgins.
The one to T. Higgins was on Bryce Hall that wasn't a catch. And then the other one was the May and Ashton kind of got messed up on
low. Right. But that was more on Ashton because he had his eyes on Chase, which allowed the post to get over the top over him. So, I mean, I think if they can just take away the deep shots and make them drive the length of the field, I think that'll be their best chance, honestly. Because the Bills, again, they don't run the ball that well. But my thing is, I don't know if the Jets DBs can match up well with the Bills receivers. I know that we've given the secondary some credit, but I haven't. I mean, it's been solid. It's been solid, but teams haven't really, like, they haven't like attack them the way that you could. I think Michael Carter II's been solid. I think Bryce has been solid. I think Echols has been solid. Obviously May was above solid. Ashton's been more up and down. But I think my issue is they haven't been like game changers. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just looked up a stat. Like, Bryce Hall has like, I think he's like fifth or sixth in pass deflections this year. He has 8, right? But like quarterbacks passer rating while targeting him. It's like 110, I believe, or around that area, according to Next Gen Stats. So it's like, because I mean, like they've attached a couple of touchdowns to him. So I don't know which ones are applicable. Because, you know, sometimes that can get a little funny. Because if you look at all the safeties, all the safety numbers when it comes to coverage, all of them suck, right? Because like when you could just look at the stats, because everybody's giving up 6. Like, yeah, I see Minkah Fitzpatrick like 16 for 17 for like a passer rating like 150. But like most of them, they're not in man coverage. So you just, you know, you never really know in that aspect. But I just don't know if they're going to be able to match up that well when it comes to Stephon Diggs and Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley, because.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's you know.
Try to get him out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
When you're going against a receiving core like that, and granted, last week was a one-off, like, you got to have some guys that can, like, make our playmakers. And the Jets, while the Jets DBs have been solid, because, you know, they're all young and, like, they've all showed promise, the one thing that they've all lacked is that playmaking ability where, like, they're taking away the ball, you know what I'm saying, they're giving the offense an extra possession. Because, again, they have zero interceptions. The defense only has one. Secondary has zero. And there've been some plays where, you know, they could have, you know, had some interceptions, but, you know, things just didn't go their way. But against that offense, you're going to need, you're going to eventually need to, you know, make some plays in that aspect.
Yeah. You need sugar high Josh Allen, where he gets in that weird headspace where he, kind of just like blanks out and does something crazy. I mean, you kind of mentioned it. A lot of the corners, this scheme has protected some. They've made some strides. They've been a lot better as a cornerback group than I think any of us were really expecting in the last 2 weeks in terms of points per game given up, really last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Is more of probably what people thought. I didn't think they'd be this bad against the run, but I think it's part of, you know, scheme-wise, teams can attack them differently, all those different types of things. The slot corners as a whole, I mean, Ashton Davis probably would be a much better slot corner, frankly, mm-hmm. in playing in the box than he is playing safety. And he had two forced fumbles and it's great, but then he takes a bad angle and gets gashed. So you know, we'll see how that kind of, you know, that goes. He's a guy that looks like he's been playing football for 5 years, which is exactly what he is. He's a track guy that's a sick athlete, and, you know, he hits hard. So let's hopefully, you know, he continues to develop. It doesn't look great at the moment. The Jets played them well again last year on defense, so I'm interested to see if they try to take some. I know no one wants to give Greg Williams any credit, and mostly you should not, but he was really good against game playing against Josh Allen. I think they scored 20 or 24 in the first matchup, created a bunch of turnovers, 18 points in the second one. If Sam was even half decent or a quarter decent in that game, they beat the Bills last year. So we'll flip to the offensive side of the ball again. We'll talk quarterback here and kind of finish with this part. But Zach Wilson obviously had 1.5, maybe 5-6 good quarters, didn't look great. Michael Floyd goes up to the booth. Obviously things change, execution increases, the Jets start to take a lot more it's given. We've kind of all been through this already. It looks like Mike White will start Sunday. Zach's going to practice this week, which is good. Josh Johnson obviously operated the offense well. We've gone back and forth about this. You've talked about this on Twitter, and I think people still don't really understand kind of your point here of, I don't want the Jets hiding Zach Wilson from the Bills because they're scared of the criticism he'll get if he doesn't play well. If Zach Wilson's not healthy, I think that's a very different story, and that sounds like the case. What would you do Sunday if you're Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas, and why do you feel kind of the way you do, I guess?
If Zach's healthy, I'm playing Zach Wilson. I think it's so funny when people try to tell me that it's not a quarterback controversy. If you look at the definition of controversy, it's going to say something along the lines of a public discussion that results in a bunch of disagreements. So there has been a bunch of disagreements in regards to who the Jets should play at quarterback, which means that is a quarterback controversy. So the reason I'm going with Zach is because you got to see what you got in him, right? Like, yes, Mike White has shown flashes, and Mike White has played better than Zach Wilson has played throughout the entire year. Like his last, like his Bengals game was better than anything Zach put on tape outside of like the couple of electric throws, which I will give Zach that. Obviously Zach is a better talent, but Mike White right now executes the offense at a higher level. Like when you put up 30 points, they put up 34, and obviously Josh Johnson and Mike, they helped put up 30.
64 points, 997 yards of offense, and like 750 through the air, six touchdowns through the air.
So it's like, you know, like we can't six. No, I think it might be seven. No, it might be eight in the past two games.
Oh, wow. You know, yeah, it is seven. All right. Wow.
Yeah, no, it's eight because
you're not used to this. Took Sandra on 12 touchdowns last year.
So like, yeah, go. You got to see what you got in Zach. And again, like, some people are like, oh, well, you know, it's the Bills. You know, yes, I get it. He'll probably not play well against the Bills, but you got to be able to see your young quarterback in a division game against the best team in a division. I think that's one of the reasons why the Dolphins started having that wandering eye with Deshaun Watson, even though I'm a Dolphins fan. I wasn't really, before the sexual, assault allegation, I was on board. Now with it, I'm not on board, but that's why they had a wandering eye, because they saw Tua in week 17 against the Bills, and he did not look like he belonged, right? Like, he just did not look like he belonged. And you got to see, it's different if you don't belong against, let's say, the Chiefs, or you don't belong against, let's say, the Chargers or whatever. But, like, they're not in your division. When you don't look like you belong against the Bills, and the Bills look like they're going to be around for a while, you know, then you might have an issue. Now, I don't think Zach would play well against the Bills, but again, like, I want to see how Zach's talent and how his traits look against the Bills. You know what I'm saying? Because that's way more important to me than anything. Everything else can be developed, right? I was having that discussion on Dolphins Twitter spaces yesterday, because, like, Dolphin fans, they still ignore the fact that Tua has a limited arm. They keep saying, oh, Tom Brady doesn't have a big arm. Well, Tom Brady can still launch the ball 60, 70 yards down the field. Like, he can make every throw on the field. I would much rather go with Zach, because, again, you want to see Zach in these big pressure moments. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to see what he can do against a defense like that. And, the Bengals, they had a good defense. They had a top five defense scoring point-wise. They were holding team to 18 points. And then Mike White went out there and put up – what did he put up? Zach Wilson played really well against the Tennessee Titans. And now look what the Tennessee Titans look like. They look like they're the best team in the AFC. You know what I'm saying? They've beaten the Bills. They've beaten the Bills, the Rams, and the Chiefs. You know what I'm saying? They handled the Chiefs, and they handled the Rams. And Zach Wilson helped lead the Jets to a victory over those same Titans. Granted, the Titans didn't have any receivers, but again, they still did what they had to do. So you never know, and you want to see what your young quarterback looks like against a team like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Titans didn't have Derrick Henry last night and went into the best team in the NFL's house and handily beat them. Probably took the MVP away from Matt Stafford unless, he gains that back. I'm on the same page as you. I just think if they're fully healthy, I'm not hiding anybody. I'm not – Mike White has looked good, but you kind of know you want to see what Zach's got against the best in the division. Way we'll see the Jets take the next step, whether they finish this year with 4 wins or 7 wins, whatever happens over the next 8 to 9 weeks, they have to win some division games. They have done a horrible job at it. They've beaten the Dolphins, once in a while, at home over the last couple of years, but that's kind of it. They haven't beaten the Bills. They don't beat the Patriots. So, I mean, whatever. The Jets won in Buffalo week 17 2 years ago. Who cares? Mm-hmm. You got to start winning division games. You got to look good in division games because, frankly, again, we haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. And that's where you separate yourself, between a team that has promise and a team that's going to be good. I'd like to also see Mike White if he's going to play. I want to see what he's got because he looked good through, two drives. But Mike White could have gone out and then had, gone 7-10 to begin with and then, finished the game 17-40. So we don't really know in terms of that. I do not want to see Josh Johnson respectfully. I do not want to see Joe Flacco. That trade obviously looks stupid, but in grand scheme of things, who really cares as long as you find the guy? Yeah. In terms of that, obviously from the receiver room, I just want to finish up quickly here. And the Raiders just cut David Arnett. They are having a god-awful week. David Arnett, for people who didn't see, went on Instagram with a AK and was talking about how he's going to kill people. So that's good. They're having a tough week. But the receiver room's interesting right now because it's kind of what we maybe more expected coming into the season. Corey's obviously your number one, but Elijah pretty clearly looks like the two or could be the one if, need be. How do you see kind of the target share happening? Because obviously with Corey out, there's been a lot of heavy rotation. Everyone's kind of gotten reps, running backs, targets, tight ends, receivers. Corey kind of felt like target dominant. Do you see Elijah's kind of role staying the same and Crowder and guys like that, or is it going to be Corey heavily again like what it was, pre-injury?
That I don't know, but I would prefer just let Corey just kind of get the rotation part, like you want Corey to get a lot of snaps, but I do feel that if you utilize more the way you have been, I think that's just going to make Corey's job much easier. Because granted, Corey hasn't been like dynamic, but I mean, he's been solid. Like, he's been very solid. He's gotten the job done when called upon. He still has 4 touchdowns on the season. He's good in the blocking game. Cause that's one thing when I was watching the Colts game, one thing that the Colts did a great job at was like the receivers helped spring a lot of those long runs also. So Corey Davis is good in the blocking game. I think it should be more Crowder, Davis, and everybody else. Get in when you can get in. And, just don't force the ball to Corey, but just sprinkle everybody in targets-wise. Because, again, now Elijah Moore starting to flash and show a lot of that talent that he showed during training camp. Jameson Crowder is going to be he's reliable. You can always rely on him. You can always get the ball to him. And, I mean, obviously, Corey, with less pressure on him and less attention, will only help him play better, you know. So those are kind of my thoughts on the receiver room. I think it should be those 3 guys going forward in terms of getting the bulk of the reps in games, and that'd be that.
So we'll finish with this. 2 quick things. We'll get a prediction for the game or it's kind of what you think's going to happen. What is more likely to happen? The Dolphins make you incredibly happy on Thursday night and you don't want to delete your Twitter, or B, the Jets pull off a weird upset where they beat the 3 best teams in the AFC at one point during the season? Because I kind of lean the Dolphins, but we'll see.
Which one's more likely? All right, so let's put this on the table. Both are below 5%. Let's put that on the table. Both below 5%. But if I had to choose, I would choose the Jets, because I've seen them beat the Titans at home. I've seen them beat the Bengals at home with a beat the Bengals backup quarterback. The Dolphins have the worst offensive line in the NFL, and the Ravens have a good defensive line with Campbell, you know, led by Campbell. So I think that the chances, I think one's at, I put the Jets at 4%. And I put the Dolphins at like 1.2%.
That's fair. I don't know. I mean, I just don't. I'm not sure I trust the Dolphins to give, like, shutting Lamar down on a short week is nearly impossible. Although the Bengals did drop, you know, it just, the NFL is weird. So I don't know. Thursday night, you never know what you're going to get. You don't need to necessarily give us a score. Obviously, we both think the Bills are going to win Sunday. If Mike White is a starter, I guess the 2 things we'll finish with are, what would be a good stat line for you to say, all right, like, there's a chance we could start? Like, where would the controversy start in terms of the Miami game? What does Mike White have to do starting? And then B, if one player has a huge game, it gives the Jets a chance on Sunday afternoon.
So I think Mike White would probably have to go for 300 again. Yeah, he had to go for 300 again, a couple of touchdowns, because I don't think – let me actually look this up right now. I don't think a single quarterback has thrown for over 100 – over 300 yards against this Bills defense this year. I got to fact check that. But, yeah, I don't think a single quarterback's thrown for that. You know, I don't – Tannehill didn't. Mahomes didn't. Let me just double check with Mahomes. Mahomes
didn't.
Huh?
Tua did not. Big Ben did not.
You know what I'm saying?
Bills have not beaten a team with a winning record, which is really weird to think about. But at the same time, they also still – that defense is still cooked. It's been the offense kind of sputtering at times. That, you know, the Jags game, Trevor Lawrence didn't sound like he did something special. The Steelers game was like 16-9 for a long time. Yeah. T.J. Watt just feasted, so.
Yeah, right. It's straight up just been – like, they've been hounding quarterbacks. So if Mike White would throw for like 300 against that defense, then we have a legitimate, like, I would still say start Zach, but it would be a legitimate discussion, like, both ways, because you can make the argument that Mike White gives you your best chance to win more games this year. For me, I'm saying I'm not really worried about wins and losses this year. From that aspect, I understand wanting to win. But, like, you want to win with Zach leading the way, or just, you know, get seeing what you got in Zach, because he's supposedly your future. So it's better if we see him versus Mike White.
And lastly, one guy this week, if they ball out, they keep the either keep the Jets in the game or the reason that they could upset them at home. I'll go first. I think they need a massive game from one of their D linemen. I think they need to have like 2-3 sack type of like game where, or you know, 5-6 pressures and 2 sacks, they force a fumble. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only chance they have is, you know, that, and you know, maybe Quinnen gets a Denver game in there, or JFM has a, you know, game similar to some of the stuff early in the game. So how about yourself?
Yeah, I agree there, because you're gonna have to make Josh Allen uncomfortable, you're gonna have to make them one dimensional, and that's gonna start with the D-line. So yeah, that's kind of, I kind of agree. I mean, not kind of, I completely agree with you there. I was thinking CJ Mosley, but for CJ Mosley to have a great game in that aspect, he's going to need a defensive line to do their part also. Obviously, if Mike White goes bonkers, then, I mean, he's another guy too. But, or Zach. But, yeah, those are like the 3/4 people that I'm, you know, looking at that could actually help the Jets. If they were to get an upset, they'd be the driving force in that aspect.
If the Jets upset the Bills, do we start the in the hunt talk with the schedule coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Right. The next, I'm interested to see, and we mentioned the D-line a lot, and, you know, they at home, they've looked really good for the most part, pretty much every week, and on the road, they've been pretty non-existent. Mm-hmm. They got 4-5 at home now. They'll get Buffalo, and then they get Miami, Houston, New Orleans, Philly, you know, and Houston's out of home, and they get the Jags. Like, their schedule between after this Bills game until week 16 against, you know, I think it's Tampa. Week 17 is Tampa, and then Buffalo to finish. Yeah. They have a good chance here. They need to start to stack Ws to, you know, get people, you know, to kind of start believing it's not just, you know, one-off game flukes and the Jets memes and things like that. Like, you got to start proving it week after week. And, you know, that's how you earn respect in this league. We will, you know, obviously be back next week. Make sure you guys are checking out DJ's work. Obviously, everyone that listens to the pod is very familiar with his work, but obviously some articles will be dropping this week. If you're not following DJ on Twitter, please do so. Yeah, and then make sure you guys are subscribed to the feed. Obviously, as always, my show, TOJ Live, and in draft season, and Badlands with Joe and Connor. I know they have a big week playing. Connor's going to do some All-22 stuff. And get that in there. So we'll, DJ, thank you as always for joining us, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Appreciate you having me.